This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
We're back here at Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood. And we'll wrap things up here in this segment with our play of the game and just who scored, how all that went down. Take a break, and then Josh will come in for some thoughts with Dan and myself, Steve. So you're listening to Ducks Hockey tonight on Ducks Stream. Not a good result, and it didn't start out very good, Dan, for the Anaheim Ducks, giving up a goal fairly early in the hockey game.
Yeah, Steve, the Ducks came out not as well as they would have liked, certainly. The Senators carrying the play early, and Ottawa got the payoff for the first of three goals tonight, just 5:42 into the first period. Ducks defenseman Cam Fowler rimming the puck up the right wing boards from deep in the Anaheim zone. And Ottawa defenseman Nikita Zaitsev able to corral the puck at the right point, put a quick shot toward the net. And Parker Kelly parked in the slot, able to redirect it past Ducks goaltender Lukasz Dostal. Kelly gets his first goal of the season from Zaitsev, and Ottawa had the early lead.
Our next go is our play of the game, brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. This was a power play goal at the 10:19 mark, and it gave the Ottawa Senators a 2-0 lead. Here comes a centering feed, a shot, they score. Well, I think it's safe to say the Senators didn't waste any time. Alex DeBrincat, the former Hawk, with a one-time shot off to the right of Dostal. And I'll tell you something, penalty to Leeson costly, and that's a big goal for Ottawa. Just past the halfway point of the period, it's 2-0 for the home team.
Well, it did take the Senators 9 seconds to capitalize on this power play after Brett Leeson was guilty of interference against Ottawa's Tim Stützle. Stützle, by the way, left the game with an upper body injury, did not return. So this may well have been a costly circumstance for the Senators, but Ottawa got the goal to go up 2-0 right off the faceoff to begin the power play. Claude Giroux with a terrific cross-ice pass, setting up a wide-open Alex DeBrincat for a one-timer from the left-wing faceoff circle. DeBrincat, his eighth goal of the season. Giroux and Thomas Chabot, the assist. 10:19 into the first period, Ottawa had a 2-0 lead. And, Steve, that was it for scoring until we got to the third period.
Yep, and guess who got the goal? It was the homestanding Ottawa Senators.
And another power play goal for Ottawa. The Sens, who went 3-for-8 with the man advantage in a 5-1 victory over Anaheim at Honda Center on November 25th. Tonight, Ottawa goes 2-for-4 with the man advantage. This goal after Ducks winger Frank Vetrano had been guilty of a cross-check, and DeBrincat driving the center lane all alone on Lukasz Dostal, the Ducks rookie goaltender. DeBrincat able to redirect Drake Batherson's centering pass for his second goal of the game, the ninth of the season for DeBrincat. Batherson with the primary assist, Claude Giroux with the other two assists tonight for Claude Giroux. That one made it 3-0 Ottawa, 12 minutes into the third period. The Sens thought perhaps they had added a shorthanded goal 3.5 minutes later, but what might have been a 4-0 goal from Rourke Chartier overruled by a Ducks coach's challenge that got the desired result. So the game wound up 3-0 for Ottawa.
We'll take a timeout, come back, get some thoughts from Josh Brewster, final thought from Dan Wood and myself from here in Ontario. More ahead on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all five of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you too with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services. Expires 1-3-23. Length of contract limited.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Ottawa 3, Anaheim nothing. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, and Josh Brewster, all with some final thoughts before we give way to Duck Calls and Josh Brewster. Josh, start with you. When all is said and done, what are your feelings?
Well, you know, I said before the game, I think the Ducks are going to have to bring some sandpaper. This is an awfully tough Ottawa club. I don't think the Ducks had the physical answer for it. And I'm not saying they shied away, but I don't think that we had the horses to get into the physical battle that Ottawa wanted to bring. We did push back, don't get me wrong. In the end, Lucas Dostal was the best Duck on the ice. Mason McTavish, I thought, had a very good spirited game. Really tried to make something happen out there. I thought they had some good success, that line. Mason McTavish, Max Jones, and Brett Leeson. I thought they were good 5-on-5 against DeBrincat, Pinto, and Batherson. But unfortunately, it's DeBrincat who gets the two goals on the power play. Obviously, special teams was the key to the game. It's unfortunate. I thought the Ducks hustled pretty well. But as far as second chances go, you're going to have to be a lot more physical to get the second chances. And that was the Ducks' undoing tonight.
Yeah, you know, Steve, the Ducks now have scored one goal total in the past two games, the home loss to San Jose, and then the shutout defeat here tonight in Ottawa. And obviously, defense is an issue, as it has been all season, and the Ducks need work there, but they also are going to have to score some goals. You look at Lukasz Dostal tonight. He did all he could in net. And wouldn't have really mattered if Ottawa got a goal. The Senators were going to win because the Ducks didn't get any. Having said that, one guy that I thought was really noticeable tonight for the first time in a while was winger Frank Vetrano. Vetrano now mired in a 19-game goal drought. He has just one goal in the past 24 games. And he's a guy that general manager Pat Verbeek brought in over the summer as a free agent with the idea that, you know, he could add to the offense. And he started the season well, not only scored some goals, but also was a threat on a nightly basis. Of late, that has not been the case. Vetrano with just four goals this season, but I thought he looked much better tonight, and perhaps that bodes well for the immediate future. But the Ducks are going to have to find a way to get some goals. You know, the Terrys, the Zegerses, the Henriques, obviously they're the guys you look to primarily, but you can look up and down the lineup, and there's just not a lot of offense there, so that needs to change. And certainly tomorrow night against a prolific Toronto Maple Leafs team, the Ducks are going to need not only their A game defensively, but find a way to put some pucks in the net. Let's not overlook Lukasz Dostal tonight. I thought he was terrific with 35 saves. And the problem, though, guys, is just as is the case when John Gibson or Anthony Stolarz is in net for the Ducks, when you face a barrage of shots on a nightly basis, any goaltender is going to wear down. Now, Dostal has faced plenty of shots playing for San Diego this season, but the Ducks need to do more to protect their goaltenders in addition to giving them some run support.
All right, guys, we look forward to Josh Brewster and Duck Calls. Nick Alberga from the Nation Network in Canada. Call Josh for the show in just a minute or two, 714-940-2888. Want to thank Cash back at Skyview. Want to thank our good friend Matt up here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, for all of his help this evening. And we'll be back here next year. Again, the final 3-0 in favor of Ottawa over Anaheim. We're heading to Toronto. We'll be on the air at 3:30 Pacific time with our half-hour pregame show tomorrow, 4 o'clock for the play-by-play, game two of this four-game trip. For everyone, hope you enjoyed the broadcast despite the result. Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network been brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Josh is next with Duck Calls. Call him up. You've been listening to Anaheim Ducks Hockey tonight against the Ottawa Senators on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9 and when an argument
plus
is
ad-free music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888 tonight. Senators 3, Ducks nothing. Our third shutout of the season, third time being shut out, that is, and it's a disappointing night in Ottawa. Well, I'll tell you what, Lucas Dostal, I think, was the best Duck on the ice tonight. I think for a guy to come in and, you know, have to make as many saves as he did, I thought he stood his ground real well. He ends up with 35 saves. The first two goals, for sure, are not on him. One was a deflection with a bit of screen action in front, and then the second one was a power play goal by Alex DeBrincat, based on a pass that probably should not have happened, going all the way across the low slot, and we were not able to defend against that. The final goal was also a difficult one by DeBrincat. He comes in and puts it in on a give and go. Well, Lucas Dostal, very good tonight. I thought Mason McTavish played a solid game tonight, really in his hometown, trying to show what he could do, trying to push back. And as I said before this game started, this Ottawa team is tough. You better bring some sandpaper. And, you know, it was a spirited effort by the guys, but just unable to establish ourselves in front of the opposition's net for long enough periods of time to generate some goals. And, you know, as Dan was just mentioning, we've got some guys who need to get back on the score sheet. Frank Vetrano tried his heart out tonight. Has not scored in a while. He had 7 shots on net tonight. He certainly put it out there, and he's not a big guy, but he was, you know, he was in the middle of the fray, trying to do what he could physically. As far as the Ducks go, I don't know what to say about the power play at this point. It has been south and going south all season long. The good, the bad, the ugly. What do you see? Look at that phone. Pick up that phone, 714-940-2888, right here on Duckstream. You tell me what you saw. Unfortunately, there was a long stretch of this game after the first 2 goals were scored by Ottawa. You're talking after the 10-19 mark of the first period. What I thought was unfortunate was we didn't fall into that soft second period. Shots in the second period were pretty much even, 13-12 for Ottawa. Ducks very much in it, and Ducks staying in it. Finally, 12 minutes into the third period on a power play, Alex DeBrincat stings us for the second time on the power play tonight, and that was unfortunate because the Ducks had a lot of fight, and I thought they back-checked pretty well. I thought they pushed back pretty well. Simon Benoit throwing some weight around tonight. He was clearing the slot early. He was leveling some hits as the game went on. He's been one of our biggest hitters. And tonight, I'll tell you, at the midpoint, it was 2-0, but I really thought the Ducks were still in this. Cam Fowler comes back on the back check. He breaks up a 3-on-2. Later in the second period, what about this big save by Lucas Dostal on a 3-on-0? He stops the shot and rebound by Kastelic on a 3-on-0 late in the second. It's too bad the Ducks couldn't build on that. Ducks could just not seem to settle it down enough in the offensive zone to get the passing game as crisp as they like. I know there's a lot of pressure there from the Ottawa Senators, but I really thought that with a little bit better passing and even slowing things down just a little bit in the offensive zone, possessing the puck for longer periods of time, going to that front of the net, and taking no nonsense from Thomas Chabot and crew, that might have really helped tonight. But it was not meant to be. The Ducks have had trouble, I believe, establishing themselves in the offensive zone slot throughout the season. And tonight they paid a price for it because they were in this. I mean, even at 2-0, I really thought the Ducks were just a bounce away from making this thing interesting. Credit to Credit to Cam Talbot for a shutout tonight. He played very, very well. Again, our guy, Dostal, the positioning was excellent. I thought he saw pucks very well. And aside from, you know, some traffic in front of him on the first goal, in general, he saw the puck well, and I thought we did that well for him. I thought that Ottawa earned their goals, and I don't think that our defensive zone slot was too chaotic. I thought we did a pretty good job of giving Lucas a chance to maneuver, but it was not meant to be. And you know, this Ottawa team, I don't like to say club's better than their record, but at now they're 12-14-2. I think they might be a little better than their record, and they have been of late, 6-2-1 in their last 9 games now. So Ottawa has started to come on. So as far as the Ducks are concerned, you know, I thought that we did a pretty good job on the back check. I also thought we did a pretty good job on our breakouts coming up the ice, and I thought we were better in the neutral zone, which is something that we talked about on the show here. I thought that we came into their zone a little bit better. One thing I would say is on our power play, Ottawa was very successful at standing up at the blue line and denying us our opportunities on our entries. So we've got to work on that. But, you know, I'm also going to ask the question, you know, who's going to defend Trevor Zegras out there? Who's going to defend some of our players like Frank Vetrano out there? We've got to have even more pushback than we showed tonight. And don't get me wrong, the guy showed a lot of heart. this is a tough club we played tonight, and the Ducks are going to have to dig deeper and push back harder when they're provoked like this. Our top line tonight I thought they could have had more shots. I really thought that Terry and Zegras could have had more. Zegras didn't have any shots tonight. Then again, neither did Brady Tkachuk. But Troy Terry had two. Adam Henrique had three. We needed more. Frank Vatrano had seven, plus two more that were blocked or missed. But I will say this. I thought that the Max Jones, Mason McTavish, and Brett Leason line did a pretty good job up against DeBrincat, Shane Pinto, and Drake Batherson. So in the end, you know, DeBrincat, he's got two goals, but those are power play goals. I really thought that that McTavish really availed himself pretty well. It's really unfortunate that we didn't have any goals. I thought that we did our best to shut their guys down. Of course, Tim Stützle went out early in the game. So did Tyler Mott. So Ottawa couldn't take advantage of those guys. But in general, I thought we skated pretty well with them. We really were not chasing the game. It's just unfortunate that they had the ability to finish where we didn't have the ability to finish. On our power play, I've said before, I'll say again, I'm not the coach, but I do start to wonder, do you want to start to take some of these names and mix them up? You know, often late in the game when we get desperate, we'll go with Cam Fowler and John Klingberg together on the ice. Hey, maybe that's just something, that's the kind of something that maybe needs to happen on the power play. Maybe we mix it up because the power play has certainly been our Achilles heel, that is for sure. 714-940-2888 if you want to chime in. What did you see? And you can lay it on me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all welcome here on Duck Calls. It's your show. So tonight, in the end, you know, it's unfortunate that we couldn't pay Ottawa back for the 5-1 loss the day after Thanksgiving at Honda Center, but we could not pay them back tonight. So we fall 3-0 to the Senators, and that's 8-1 over the course of the two games. Now, things are not about to get any easier. We're going to go into Toronto, and we're going to play one of the best clubs in the league and certainly one of the more explosive clubs in the league. So what do you think about that? What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? It's a quick turnaround. Their goal differential is plus 23. Our goal differential now is minus 53. So we're going to have to dig deep. We did, if you remember, we did beat the Toronto Maple Leafs earlier in the season on an overtime goal by none other than Mr. Trevor Zegras. We're going to have to see if we can take care of that tomorrow. What can I say? I really was hoping that, you know, guys like Sam Carrick might break through. We haven't heard from him on the score sheet. We've needed to hear from Max Jones. I give Jonesy credit for the physical pushback in his play. Frank Vatrano, I hate to go there, but it's the ketchup bottle thing. You're just going to have to keep shaking that ketchup bottle because you gave us seven shots tonight. And I thought he gave us a spirited effort. He went up against Travis Hamonic. A lot of the guys on the ice are bigger than Frank Vatrano, but I thought he showed a lot of heart tonight. So I guess that's about it for now. Let's take a little break here on Duck Calls, and when I come back, I'm going to have my guest, Mr. Nick Alberga from the Nation Network up in Canada. He's great. He used to be on Sirius and on Sportsnet. He's now doing a show about the Leafs on the Nation Network up in Canada. Great hockey guy. I'll be right back on Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by Truth.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a Random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all five of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 1/3/23. Length of contract limited.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. The Anaheim Ducks holiday packs are back with a new limited edition sweater design. Give the hockey fan on your list two Ducks tickets to three games, and we'll throw in a bonus 90s themed holiday sweater. If you want one to keep for yourself, purchase two tickets to five games, and you'll receive two sweaters. Purchase your packs now at AnaheimDucks.com/bright. All right. One of my buddies from up in Canada is on the Nation Network, and he's a great hockey guy, and here he is now, Mr. Nick Alberga. How you doing tonight, Nick?
Josh, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, I wish we had a better result. This was a, this is a rather physical Ottawa Senators team we ran into tonight. Everybody's heard my take. Why don't you give me yours, and then we'll dig into it a little further.
Yeah, what a grind of a season, right, for this Anaheim Ducks team. Just can't seem to get on track, and obviously they're trending in the wrong direction, very likely to be headed towards being a seller at the trade deadline, and potentially being in position to go after a Connor Bedard with the first overall pick. I think it's another disappointing loss. To add to disappointing losses throughout this season, when you look at a winnable hockey game against a team like Ottawa, who has really, really struggled, who is banged up. You knew the numbers coming into the game when it comes to Cam Talbot. Seems to have dominated the Anaheim Ducks in his career to continue tonight. And yeah, the offense just didn't have enough. I thought the Sens played a tight game, and teams always seem to step up as well when they're honoring a player, right? It was Wade Redden night, and they found a way to get the job done. So I think it was another squandered opportunity here for the Ducks.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate because, you know, we put Lucas Dostal, who had played four NHL games coming into tonight's action, and, you know, he's a big prospect for our future in the Nets, you know, not this season, but he'll get some work, and who knows, next season and in coming seasons. He's 22 years old. I have to say, Nick, you know, I thought he did a darn good job. I thought his positioning was sound. I thought he saw pucks in traffic real well. And look, there's a couple of power play goals by the Senators. I don't think any of the goals that went by him tonight were easy ones by any means. And I thought he gave us a real chance, even at 2-0. I thought the Ducks were in this game. I don't think the second period was not like the Senators had run away with it. The Ducks just couldn't finish.
Yeah, it's pretty much a story to me, right? Like, we all know the PK issues for this team and keeping the puck out of the net defensively. It's sort of been a work in progress, I think, in Southern California, extending to the Los Angeles Kings as well. But yeah, that's my major takeaway, like a couple power play goals. And again, they've got to find a way to rectify things when it comes to the PK. Just has not been good enough. But I think you're bang on. And you look at Dostal, I still think he has a bright future in this league. And I do want to see him play more. Now, ultimately, that'll come down to a couple things moving forward with this organization and this franchise. And I do think he is pushing on the door to be a full-time National Hockey Leaguer. So I'm very, very intrigued to see what the Ducks do to sort of create that pathway, if that makes sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I don't do the trade rumor mill on this show, but that is the point. You do draft guys to hopefully upstage one or two of the goaltenders that you have. I mean, that's why you draft guys. So it will be interesting as the season drags on, how things go in our Nets. Maybe it finishes with Gibson and Stolarz, and you make a decision in the offseason. It doesn't mean it has to be made during the regular season. But I'll tell you what, it's a situation here now, Nick, where you've got Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras carrying a lot of the water, and I would say way too much of the water. And you know, it's Strome and Vetrano and Max Jones and Jacob Silverberg, and it is all, and Mason. Well, Mason McTavish is very young. I'll excuse him, but Max Comtois, we're going to need some scoring from somewhere here. It can't just be Zegras and Terry carrying the water all the time.
Yeah, personally, I'm a bit stunned at this start for Anaheim. Like, I really felt like this team was ready to take sort of that next step, and it just hasn't happened. Now, granted, I think a big moment in this season was obviously the long-term injury to Jamie Drysdale, who was off to a really, really good start, as you know. You lose, a defenseman of that caliber, it's certainly not going to help. And as mentioned, like, the glaring hole on this team is the PK. Like, to be 31st in the National Hockey League on the penalty kill is just demoralizing for any team. So, they got to find a way to nip that in the bud. But I think you're certainly right. Like, I think if there's one need for this team and this franchise moving forward, it's got to be offense, because they're very, very top-heavy when it comes to Zegras and Troy Terry. And I think Cam Fowler's had an exceptional season coming out of nowhere to be the power play one quarterback, certainly with all the injuries. You know, guys like Klingberg have been in and out of the lineup the last little while. So I think if I'm Pat Verbeek and company and I'm looking towards the future, I just have to find a way to continue to insulate guys like Zegras and Troy Terry, because I think you're bang on. Like, that's why you brought in guys like Ryan Strome. I think he's been pretty decent so far, but you need more guys like that, like Vetrano, you know, guys to help with the depth scoring, because it's just a tough league. Like, I don't care if you're Trevor Zegras, I don't care if you're Troy Terry. You need a variety of different guys to be threats to score. And when you're not, it's easy to defend in this league.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, I've speculated aloud that we brought in Jason Megna on waivers, giving him a shot.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there may become a time where you call the San Diego Gulls. There are some picks down there, Braden Tracy, Jacob Perro. You could even look at some defensemen like Axel Anderson, Drew Hellison, guys who you got in trade. But I think something will have to give, and I think that the lineup will expand at some point. I think that some other guys will get a shot. Now, before I go on, and I don't want to forget about this, Nick, you're doing in Toronto right now, you're doing the Nation Network, and why don't you explain to me where we find you there so we can listen to you there?
Yeah, so pretty much the Nation Network is sort of the offspring of Daily Faceoff, and of course our big name is sexy NHL insider himself, Frank Saravalli. That's the big name we have over at Daily Faceoff. So it's the offspring of that, and pretty much what we're assembling is sort of a YouTube show in every market in Canada that has a Canadian team. So we're up to 5 of 7, and I host the Leafs one. So it's called Leafs Morning Take. My co-host is former Toronto Maple Leaf Jay Rosehill. It's live every day, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. So bright and early for all you folks out in Southern California to tune in and watch. And you can watch tomorrow as we preview Toronto and Anaheim. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And certainly, as you know, like, it always helps when a team is successful. And the Leafs have been red hot since pretty much that game. I'm sure you remember October 30th. It was 3-1 for the Leafs in the third period. And, they blew that lead. And I believe Trevor Zegras won it in overtime. And since then, they have one loss in regulation, if you can believe it.
Yeah, you know, let's do this since we've got the Leafs tomorrow night. And by the way, I'll remind everybody, dailyfaceoff.com is a great site if you want to take a look. From amongst other things, one of the great things you get there is you get the daily lineup cards, and they do it in a really nice graphic fashion. So if you want to know who's playing on what line, go there. Okay, we're going to play the Leafs in less than 24 hours from now. So one thing that I've been struck by, Nick, is the Leafs have lost, as far as I remember, their top three defensemen, I think, are all still out, if I'm not mistaken, and they continue to roll along. I wonder about your thoughts about what they've got in their nets, because I think they may have chosen very wisely with Ilya Samsonov and Matt Murray. But why don't you speak to that? You lose the Leafs have lost to top three defensemen, and they still continue to roll along.
Yeah, I'm always careful to tread, you know, when it comes to the goaltending situation in Toronto. Like, obviously, you look at Jack Campbell, what's happening right now in Edmonton. You look at what he did last November, and you've got to comprehend that it's a long season. There's going to be ebbs and flows and ups and downs. But certainly, Josh, that has been the biggest story to me in the month of November, now trickling into the month of December, is all the marquee injuries on the back end, and they've gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, and they have some of these kids elevated in the lineup. Even a veteran like Mark Giordano has been exceptional the last little while and playing much, much more. It's been a team effort and a team buy-in. I know those are sort of cliche things to say, but it really has been something of focus for this Maple Leafs team, where I think they got together and said, hey, we're without Morgan Riley. They've been without Jake Muzzin for a long period of time. TJ Brody missed an extended period of time. Like, these are significant pieces on the back end. And again, they have not skipped a beat. This team has not lost in regulation now since November 11th. That's now over a month. Like, this run is incredible. They're on a 14-game point streak, 11-0-3 in that stretch. They're playing as well as I've seen them play in the regular season, probably in a couple of years. I mean, they had a run like this last year, but certainly that is the takeaway, the fact that they really have not skipped a beat despite losing these guys. And it's a full testament to them and a credit to them, because defensively speaking, they've been really, really strong, and I felt like they've really insulated the goaltenders. Ilya Samsonov and Matt Murray are back fully healthy. But again, it's a long season, so I'm going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. They've been really, really good lately.
So give me the prescription for tomorrow. You're the coach of the Ducks for just 2 minutes here. Tell me what you're going to do. What are you going to target? How are you going to handle Mitch Marner? He's been on fire. Yeah. What would you do if you're the Ducks coming in tomorrow? Knowing what you know about our lineup, what do you do as the Ducks go in tomorrow?
So I think they have to escape the first 10 minutes. Like, this is cliche, without surrendering a goal. And the biggest thing for me, again, is you look at that Toronto power play coming off a game where they were 3-for-6. Mitch Marner scores the OT winner against Calgary. Willie Nylander notches a 5-point night, his first career. Stay out of the penalty box, right? Josh, we've talked a lot about this during this interview. Anaheim's terrible PK. If they take penalties against Toronto, it's going to be quick early. So I think maybe you review some of that game tape from back in late October and you bottle it up and you try to bring it into this game tonight and sort of catch lightning in a jar. And I think patience is going to be important too with this Anaheim team. Like, I think if they try to chase the game and skate with the Leafs and try to play like a barn burner type game, I think they're going to be caught in the dust. It's just the way the Leafs have been playing, and they're really, really starting to catch fire offensively. So I think patience is a virtue for Anaheim if they want to win tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's a good point that you bring up. You know, I think there's a couple things. I believe the Ducks need more physicality in general, but one thing that I mentioned, and I kind of saw this tonight, you have to find a way. I remember Brad Park, okay? This is how old I am. I remember Brad Park. Brad Park could speed up a game or slow down a game at will, and that's very rare. But as a team, what I'd like to see the Ducks do a little more of is get in the offensive zone, hang on to the puck, let all five guys come and collapse in the slot, get a couple in the slot, get a nice tight formation, not a far-flung formation with long passes across the offensive zone, and actually try to slow things down a little in the offensive zone.
Yeah, just the problem with that is, like, puck possession, obviously, as you know, is a big thing in this day and age of analytics. And I understand where you're coming from, but it's another thing to execute it, especially when you look on the other side of the rink. You look at Auston Matthews has, what, 6 goals in his last 7 games. You look at Mitch Marner, as you referenced, a 22-game point streak. William Nylander's on pace for 45 goals. John Tavares on pace for a monster season. Like, you look at all those weapons, and then we just talked about Anaheim, just the struggle offensively, the struggle on the PK, the struggle defensively. It really looks like Mount Kilimanjaro for them tomorrow. But again, you look back at what they did in October, I think they proved to themselves that they can stick with this Leafs team. I know a lot has changed over the last 6 weeks or so, but I think that could give them the confidence. But I think you're right. Like, I think puck possession is going to be a big thing, and I think you just have to be smart with the puck. Like, the Leafs are the type of team, if you make a mistake, they're going to make you pay. So it's paramount that, you know, obviously they keep that discipline tomorrow and they make smart decisions with the puck, or they're going to get burned big time.
All right, Nick, let's traverse over to some NHL news and notes. And by the way, before I go any further, since we are talking to my friend from Canada, Let's talk about Team Canada. Team Canada at the World Juniors, I just wanted to mention to the audience here, from the Ducks prospects, defenseman Olin Zellweger, defenseman Tyson Hines, and center Nathan Gauthier were all confirmed on the Team Canada roster for the World Juniors. I'll tell you something, Nick. You know, coming up here in the United States, it's so great that we get to actually watch the World Juniors now and have for probably about the last decade, I guess. But, you know, it really is. There's only so many glimpses we get into who gets drafted. You know, in Canada, yeah. You probably see a lot more junior hockey. And, of course, in the States, like if you're a football fan, you watch enough college football, you could be a draft nick, right? It's hard to be a draft nick in the United States, and it's hard to know who these guys are. But the World Juniors are coming up later this month, and it should be just another fantastic tournament. So I just wanted to interject that, Duck fans. Olin Zellweger, Tyson Hines, and Nathan Gauthier all made Team Canada.
Zellweger's the guy certainly to watch. I think coming off what he did, obviously, in the Summer World Junior, I think he is without question a defenseman to look at potentially to win defenseman of the tourney. Like, he's that good. He's that impressive. So that's probably, of the three prospects you just mentioned, that's the guy I'm looking for here on Canada.
All right, let's pop around to a couple of various NHL clubs that have caught my interest of late. The first one, I guess I'll ask you about, Nick, let's talk about the Florida Panthers for a moment, because I got to tell you, I was all jazzed up when they brought in Paul Maurice and they brought in Matthew Tkachuk, and I think Matthew Tkachuk has certainly produced for them. But, you know, I'm starting to wonder about this club, and should they have hung on to Andrew Brunette as coach? Were they a better club with him? What do you see happening in Florida? Because they've been just perfectly mediocre, and I did not expect mediocre.
Yeah, like, you know, I've been asked this question quite a bit. I was on with Boomer Gordon on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio earlier today. He asked me about, like, you know, is it a time to freak out about the Florida Panthers? Are they going to miss the playoffs? Like, generally speaking, I like to give teams at least to the midway point. So the Panthers have played 29 games. Midway would be 41 games. I think if you're to ask me again in 10 games and remain status quo, then I think there's going to be some concerns. Having said that, I think it was quite definitive in my world that they sacrificed a bit in the regular season to be a better and harder team to play against in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I do think this is an evolving story. Like, defensively, they haven't been great. Matthew Tkachuk, I think, has been outstanding. The depth hasn't been there. Like, I think one thing to watch for, too, is Anthony DeClaire is closing in on a season debut, I think, in the next couple weeks. Post-Christmas is the last I heard. And on top of that, it sounds like the Panthers, if everybody gets healthy here, might have to even make a trade, whether it's a Hornqvist or somebody else. So they're going to lose even more depth. And, of course, Josh, as you know, they're absolutely crippled by a $10.5 million backup goaltender in the form of Sergei Bobrovsky. That doesn't help any team, especially in this cap world. So I'm going to give the Panthers the benefit of the doubt. I want to see them play a bit more, but I think you're bang on. Like, it has been a disappointing start to this season. I think the other thing I've noticed, too, is that Tampa absolutely owns them, right? I think it's 7 straight victories for the Lightning over the Florida Panthers, the one team that they tried to model their team around and try to beat in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they can't beat them at all. So I think there is reason for concern, but I want to see a bit more, and I want a longer period of time before I make an accurate assessment here.
All right, let's take a look at another club. We recently dropped a decision to the Dallas Stars, and, of course, none other than Jason Roberts. Jason Robertson, go figure, his name comes up. He got a hat trick against us, but he's doing very well against basically the entire league. Comes into tonight's action with 23 goals and 42 points. I got to say, Jake Oettinger is developing into something. They're playing well in front of him. You've got a nice cast of characters there between Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, Pavelski is the ageless wonder, and Jamie Benn, I think, has been resurgent this year. Are you buying the Dallas Stars? Because you talk about playoff ready. That's a club that strikes me as ready to bring the requisite defense and the requisite sandpaper to the playoffs. What are your thoughts on the Stars?
Yeah, and very under the radar at that, too. Like, I had a chance, actually, to interview Jason Robertson as part of my freelance work with the NHL last week, and I was just so impressed with the kid. I'm like, are you really 23? Just how professional he was, how much he gave me in the 25-minute interview. And I just think you look at the body of work ever since this kid has come into the league, he's provided and scored. And certainly I think he could be in the conversation this season for the Hart Trophy. You know, I think you look at that roster, it's a bit surprising in my world. Like, you move on from Rick Bonus, you bring in Pete DeBoer, but not surprising defensively speaking. I think they've been really, really locked in. I know it's been a bit of a struggle as of late. A tough loss tonight. Evgeny Malkin, I think, scores with like 57 seconds or so left in that game in regulation, so they don't even walk out with a point. And then, oh yeah, you got the back-to-back tomorrow against the New Jersey Devils, who fell to the New York Rangers in OT tonight, right? So it doesn't get any easier. But as we know, no game is easy in this league, regardless of opponent. But there's a couple of things that catch my eye with Dallas. Obviously, Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz and contract year Joe Pavelski on that top line. Like, they never get praise or conversation, but they're elite. They're really, really elite. And I think they bring a different dynamic than some other lines would bring in this league. On top of that, I think they've rectified some of their secondary scoring. Like, Mason Marchment, that addition went really, really under the radar. But I think he's provided some bite to that lineup and some offense. Not to mention, I think guys like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin have had resurgent seasons, right? And certainly when you factor in those contracts, Dallas needed that, or they weren't going to compete for a playoff spot this season. And so far, so good. Even a youngster like Wyatt Johnson, I don't know if they expected him to rise onto the scene this quickly, but he's been a great story so far. So you look up and down that lineup, and I haven't even mentioned the name Miro Heiskanen yet, right? Like, this is an all-world defenseman. I think when push comes to shove, he could be in the conversation for the Norris Trophy this season. And then, oh yeah, you sprinkle a bit of Jake Ottinger, as you reference, right? So, like, I think they do have the ingredients, as you said, to not only make the playoffs, but also be a contender in the postseason, because we always see it every year. You get strong goaltending, you can ride it really, really far, right?
Oh yeah, and look, it's always a good sign for an organization when a player like Tyler Seguin is upstaged by one of your other development projects. You know what I mean? So to push him down the lineup a little bit, that's a real good sign for an organization. All right, Nick, unfortunately, I could talk to you for another 4 hours easily, but I'm up against it time-wise. So let's do this again real soon on Duck Calls, and everybody go check out the Nation Network. And what time is it again?
Yeah, so it's Leafs Morning Take, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, live on the Nation Network YouTube page, or you can get it wherever you get your podcast. It's called Leafs Morning Take. And again, tomorrow coming up, I'll have a preview of the Leafs and Ducks.
Indeed. Nick, great talking to you, and thank you for joining me on Duck Calls tonight. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to hear your voice. Take care.
All right, there he is, Nick Alberga. Give me a call here, folks, in my last few minutes. Would love to get your take on the game tonight, or give me your take on what's going on tomorrow. We're going to go play the Toronto Maple Leafs, or give me your take on the NHL in general. 714-940-2888 right here. Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. A couple things I wanted to report on. I mentioned this earlier in the intermission. 50-year-old Jaromir Jagr. There was an illness around his Czech league team. You know, he's an owner. He owns the Kladno team in the Czech top league. And Jagr had to lace up the skates for the first time since April. He got 2 assists over 15 minutes and 10 seconds of ice time. And he's going to turn 51 in 2 months. And as you know, he's the second overall scorer in NHL history, second only to Wayne Gretzky, with 1,921 points, including 766 goals. You go, Jaromir Jagr. And as I mentioned earlier, they say he does 1,000 squats a day. Can you imagine 1,000 squats a day? All right, a couple suspensions over the weekend. Jeff Skinner suspended for 3 games for cross-checking Pittsburgh forward Jake Guentzel in the face. They had got into a little stick-swinging thing, and Jeff Skinner finished it with a cross-check to the face, and now he'll sit for 3 games. Seattle defenseman Jamie Oleksiak will similarly sit for 3 games for an illegal check to the head of Washington defenseman Alexander Oleksiev, which caused an injury, by the way. 3 stars of the week, Washington goaltender Charlie Lindgren, Tage Thompson of the Buffalo Sabres, and Toronto right wing William Nylander, who obviously we're going to see tomorrow night. They were named the NHL's 3 stars for the week. Charlie Lindgren came in, went 4-0 last week for a Capitals club that really needed him. They had a .949 save percentage last week as well. We've talked about Tage Thompson. He had a 5-goal night in about 15 minutes of ice time against the Columbus Blue Jackets, including 4 first-period goals. He's the second star. And then William Nylander, 3 goals, 4 assists for 7 points in 3 games last week. So not too bad for the NHL 3 stars. Nick mentioned a couple of the scores, and I will go through them quickly here. you want to jump in, 714-940-2888. The Ducks drop one tonight, 3-0 to Ottawa. In less than 24 hours from now, we're going to have to go face the Toronto Maple Leafs. Who knows? Maybe an opponent of that caliber will just be the smelling salts we need. I'll tell you what, we did beat them last time on an overtime goal by Trevor Zegras. All right, tonight in Minnesota, the Wild, they're doing quite well here. The 2-1 tonight victory over the Edmonton Oilers. This is in Minnesota. Frederick Gaudreau and Matt Boldy score for Minnesota. The Blues topple the Predators 1-0 in St. Louis. Boy, the Blues have been horribly inconsistent. Tonight it's Braden Schenn with his 7th goal of the season. It's the overtime winner. The game was scoreless through 3 periods. Les Canadiens, 2-1 over the Calgary Flames. This is in Montreal. Montreal been a little better than everybody expected, but they took care of business tonight in a shootout over Calgary. So Calgary gets 1 point. As Nick mentioned, the Penguins defeated the Dallas Stars tonight 2-1. Penguins are now 9 games above 500. It's Evgeny Malkin with 35 seconds left in the game. His 9th goal of the year proves to be the game-winning goal. The New Jersey Devils, the very hot New Jersey Devils, went into New York. All they could get was a point. The Rangers got 2 points with an overtime victory, 4-3. It's Philip Hedel in overtime for the New York Rangers. All right. Thank you so much for listening to Duck Calls. Let's get some rest, and I'll see you and talk to you in less than 24 hours. Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night. It's a big opponent. Let's get it done. Chip away at it, boys. Let's stay physical, keep skating, and let's see what happens. Thanks for listening to Duck Calls. Have a good night.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action, breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, Today's Hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Thanks for listening to this exclusive presentation of Anaheim Ducks Hockey. Stay tuned for continued coverage on Ducks Stream, the official 24/7 audio network of the Anaheim Ducks, powered by TuneIn.